Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good.
I just got off the road. I was on the road.
Today,
with
right?
The band, yeah. No, a little up the 10 freeway. Okay. From the desert.
Okay.
And I think my kids are still at your house.
The kids were sleeping. I got a call last night from Wilder. Auntie Kate, can someone turn the like jacuzzi on and like the lights in the pool? It's like really dark out here. And he goes, I'll text you when I'm done, you know?
Yeah.
And of course did not text when he was done.
No.
And he did text you?
Okay.
Yeah, Wilder. Wilder's just like living it up at his auntie
like, so,
Kiki's
can I
desert
get the
house.
Chef to come over and like maybe cook some breakfast. Like, dude, like, what are you doing?
I was like, I don't like, have a chef. Chef
but it was a great holiday. But I needed like a holiday from a holiday.
That's always what happens.
But why? I need to learn how to, because
it's stressful. I know. It's stressful.
But everyone drinks and has fun and you're celebrating too much and then you finish and you're like, I'm exhausted.
Well, you were drinking a lot more than I normally see.
True.
You
drink. You were getting after it more than you normally do.
Yeah, but you were like at 9:30. I went to breakfast and you were like, you had like,
a beer,
yeah, with like lime squeezed in it, which was a first for me to see.
Yeah, well, it was refreshing.
You actually like cared about the lime squeeze.
Oh, yeah, because it was an ice cold mug where the Corona was actually like slushing just a little bit.
Yeah.
With that sort of hint of citrus and a little salt.
Yeah.
I mean, with a little hangover.
It kind of made me sick.
Ba-gang! And then you just feel amazing. I think more people will relate than not.
I know, but it did kind of make me sick just because that we had like, we really did go pretty hard this holiday season.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that, I was like, wow, that is commitment.
I had two of them because it was so
good. Yeah, which made me even sicker.
Yeah.
was like, whoa. I think it's because you had your Prenuvo and you had no fatty liver. And
yeah,
so you just
might as well just try to make it fatty.
You're just like, you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Things look good.
No, seriously. I'm like, come on, let's fatten this liver
up. It's like the worst thing you could have done was have like no findings on your Prenuvo.
I know. I threw up.
Oh, well, we all threw up.
We all threw
up. I kind of feel weird talking about this a little bit, but I'm going to, because this was the first time this happened. Actually, I have never.
No, I know.
I don't know what got into me or what happened, and I think
could have been something else.
It was possibly could have been something else, but like everyone was like, maybe it had something to do with, martini and then red wine.
Yes, you told me
but
this.
And this is what your wife's whole thing
I
was.
I don't understand this theory, but go ahead.
I've had martinis and wine before.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking maybe it was like the fourth bottle.
That's the problem.
Wine.
You drink like eight bottles of wine.
Well, you don't. I didn't drink that many. But I did wake up. I felt terrible. I then was fine in the middle of the day. I like got myself together and then went to bed that night and got really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't understand what's going on.
Oh yeah, Aaron and I are in bed like.
And I was like, Aaron.
Joint. We're like, ah, oh, finally. Like,
Aaron.
Relaxing. Right. And I was like, you need to get over here. It's not going well. And Aaron's like, oh, no.
I've never had that.
Yeah.
And then
the next night,
was Aaron. Oh, no.
It was me.
It was you.
And Aaron.
Then you were the next night.
Yeah. I just over-consumed.
And you threw up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next night was Aaron. And she also.
Yeah. I know. Well, she just drank way too much wine and then smoked a big joint, which you cannot do.
But then I realized then the next morning I was like, there's something wrong with us. This is not okay. You know?
No, I know.
There was something that was like, what is this telling us? We've never had this season.
No, no, no.
And for some reason, this one was like, guys, get it together.
No, I know. I'm happy it's Monday.
Oh,
I'm happy like to not drink for the week and clean myself out.
I
start
know.
Start working out again.
Like, I know.
Oh God.
I know. But then it's like 6:30 and you're like,
I know.
It's holiday season.
Everything is.
It's a tough one.
What the season balance, are you in?
Balance in the holidays. We should talk to an expert about this.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's impossible.
It's definitely not going to be the Maddens, which is our next.
No.
I know.
Are they here?
I mean, I feel like we can, as much as I know, Joel and Benji, although.
You've known them. I've known them as well. But
you've been
really good friends with them
for a long time.
Yeah.
I've known Joel and Nicole, who are the absolute best couple. I love them so much.
Mm-hmm.
Joel's the best human ever. I just really appreciate him. I don't know Benji as much and as well as I know Joel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really excited to interview them because they're just the kindest, most lovely people. And they've been doing good. They've been in Good Charlotte. I mean, since they were born.
Yeah, since they were born.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that with them. But anyway, they
became entrepreneurs and are doing amazing with their with their streaming stuff, which I was reading about. It allows them to just be home, family first stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's who they are.
Yeah,
they are family first, and they probably are actually the people to talk to about balance because. They totally cleaned their life up. They're like fully,
sober?
I don't know.
Well, are they here? We can ask them. What's
up?
Hey, I'm so happy.
How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Guys, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We were just talking about over-consuming during the holiday season and how I can't stop. Every day I wake up wondering if I'm an alcoholic or not, which probably means I am. I don't know.
We're talking about balance.
Yeah, balance is good most of the time.
And then I said, I don't know. I mean, Benji and Joel, maybe they're the right people to talk to about balance. Maybe not. And then we were like, well, you look at all the years that have gone by And this year was, we went a little harder than we've normally gone.
Yeah.
And it was like,
everyone threw up.
At one point, we were like, this is problematic.
I think the world is going harder for some reason this year in all aspects. And I think it's a cultural moment that we could probably all find ways in which we are going, we're going to excess in some way, shape, or form. I think it's like a moment in the world, and energetically, I don't know. I feel that way.
I really think if you are asking yourself if you're an alcoholic, I actually think that's a good sign, because I actually think if you're an alcoholic, you're unaware of it.
Right.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's your internal brake system, where it's yes. That's just your internal brake system. So
yeah,
I think you're good.
Most people have to have interventions done on them if they
other people have to say hey.
Right. That's instead right. of myself. I know, but it's just like, I'm not gonna drink today. I don't wanna drink. I'm just gonna be cool, I'm gonna work out, and then like, you know, the 6:30, 7 rolls around, I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna drink, I'll just have a drink. You know.
You work for it all year long, you work for those holidays, you know?
No,
you
just that's go, right. We it's just the got, we're in
are
it.
You guys sober or do you guys still
consume? No, not sober. Sober in some ways, for sure. Yeah. I like to think I am very sober in some ways.
Sober most of the time.
Yeah, but as far as partaking in alcohol,
yeah,
definitely. I've never actually done a drug in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been in a rock band your whole life and you've never died. I love hearing that. That's a rarity.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a good thing, Joel.
It's a good thing. I don't actually have a thing against, I certainly don't think drugs are good for you, but I'm not a very judgy person when it comes to people doing drugs. I've certainly known tons of people that don't drugs, but never had, always been a little afraid of them myself.
Yeah.
Are we classifying weed as a drug?
I judge everybody. I'm just going to put that out there.
But weed isn't a drug. I mean, are we classifying weed as a drug or not?
Weed's legal. It's legal. So it's illegal. Okay. I'd say illicit drugs, maybe.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, I've never done cocaine in my life, you know, and I've never done any real drugs other than mushrooms and weed for the most part.
Those don't count as drugs.
Ecstasy back in like the late 90s and early 2000s.
It was like ecstasy counts. In the 90s, ecstasy was like a big thing.
Yeah.
And it was hardly ecstasy. It was just like all cut up with everything you could possibly imagine. You just like sort of, you know, flying around, like feeling like a crazy person for the most part.
Oliver came back.
They said it was ecstasy.
Yeah.
Ollie came back one time. I'm going to just say this because I can. He came back. I forget what it was. You went on some trip to like the Hamptons something.
First time I've been there and the last time.
I'll never forget this. He was so, and he came back and he chewed his whole face off. Like his entire mouth. I was like, what happened to you?
I got in a pool with the Playmate of the Year at like 4 a.m. and did not get out of the pool until 7 p.m. the next day.
And wow. He looked like a different person.
It was crazy, It was crazy.
Whatever. I was worried.
How old were you then?
I was 19 years old, 19 or 20 years old.
Too young.
And
sounds like you had a great time.
It was a great time. It was the Playmate of the Year, had this house and all these playmates were there. And like I was sitting around the pool and it was, you know, now it was like noon. I'd been there since 5 a.m. And all of a sudden these just, because you're looking up, it's just like vaginas start appearing everywhere because they're all naked. And now I'm just seeing these like vaginas. I'm like, oh my God. But and then there's a gardener. Gardener with a leaf blower, but it's like loud in my ear.
I didn't hear this part of the story.
Yeah, it was.
My goodness.
A gardener with a leaf blower. I mean, God, we go. Ollie just goes right in.
No, I know.
My goodness.
And then we flew to see Jimmy Page and Chris.
Oh,
in Washington.
Oh, that's when I saw your face.
Yes, when you saw me. Yeah.
So you weren't 19. You were in your 20s.
You were like, that was like,
yeah.
You no, just it was before Aaron, though.
Yeah, but you, I was 22, 21.
I was probably 23.
Yeah.
It was definitely before Aaron. Definitely.
Yeah. It was definitely before Aaron. Timeline. Right? Right.
Oh. All right. Let's exit your ecstasy years.
What a kickoff for this podcast.
Let's get back to Joel and Benji. Let's jump right in on this, guys. What is it like for you to be identical twins? That's a big question. But let's start with, like, when did it start? When was it that you actually looked at each other and recalled, like, wow, we're identical? Like, when it hit you guys?
Well,
how old were you?
I guess we should start before we start at the beginning. I will say that being adult male twins is weirder than being kid twins. Kid twins are cute and fun, but adult male twins, there's not a ton of, I would say, kitschy value. Like, I would say it's not as catchy.
Mm-hmm.
So you run into people and they'll talk to you for about 5 minutes before you haven't really had a chance to say, hey, I think you're talking about Benj. I definitely didn't meet you, or we weren't there together. Things like that.
I feel like you and I, we definitely had those moments early days for sure. I can almost.
Yes. Or like he'll go, if he's like, we cover for each other a lot sometimes. Like if I'm out of town and my kid has a baseball game, Benj will go and like be there. And then everyone thinks he's me, but he's a little less friendly than me because he doesn't know anyone there. And then they're like, last week, were you sick or something? And I'm like, no. And they're like, you just weren't as friendly. You didn't say hi to me. And I was like, oh, that's my brother.
That's amazing. You're friendly. Father of the year, like, even though you're there half the time.
That's kind of great.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Ollie.
Yeah, so you know, because you have a ton of friends and you throw a lot of parties.
Yeah.
You don't really. I mean, you've got your core group of friends.
I do throw a lot of
you
parties.
You do throw a lot of parties.
I love a party.
You need a signature cocktail that's ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's also actually nice to have a signature cocktail that's ready to go when you don't have a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just nice to have something in your fridge when you get home from work and you just want a drink.
This is true.
But you know why I like this brand of tequila?
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
Female founded.
Yes. I love a female founded spirit because there aren't that many of us.
I know. And 21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easiest margaritas ever. They're smooth. They're fresh. They taste amazing. And they're not too sweet.
No.
I do not like sweet.
They're not overly sweet.
Yeah. And they're infused with real juice.
Yes. I love women. I love supporting women. So.
Two sisters, one friend.
Listen, if you love tequila, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think. And it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
But when was the moment for you when you were like, I don't want to be identical right now? Like, how do I define myself as my own
Probably
brother?
By the fourth or fifth birthday when you get a red one and he gets a blue one, or, you know, you get a, you know, like that's how it is. Like, we'd race to open presents because we knew we were getting the same thing, just in a different color. Mm-hmm. you would race to open presents because you're like, people would give you two boxes, they looked exactly the same, and you're like, no one was like, oh, that one was for you. It was like, you got the red one. So didn't matter whose name you put on it, we would just rip it open because we wanted to be surprised. And we shared everything. It was nice though.
I think there's probably moments when you're younger where you're like, ugh, I just want to be myself. And then I think as we've gotten older, we really see it as like a secret weapon. It's a strength. Like we feel like we maybe wouldn't be here without each other. You know, we maybe
100%.
You know,
how so? In what way would you not be here without each other?
I think not in the sense of like maybe we'd be dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a possibility too. But we were both a very, you know,
dependent on one another for sure.
Yeah. And I think as you go through your development in life, like you always hit these fork in the roads where you have to be, you kind of have to decide like who you are. Like, am I going to be more this kind of person or more this kind of person? Am I going to make this kind of decision or am I going to say, fuck it, you know, and make this kind of decision? And I think like when you always have like your partner there, we're always going to encourage each other to like make the right decision, you know, like, mm-hmm. like sort of go like, yeah, you could do that. I don't know, but are you, you know, be careful, man. Like, are you taking care of yourself or sort of like you just kind of you're not alone in the world, so you know you matter to someone. So I think mm-hmm. like everybody goes through their life and they always end up in a moment where they're completely alone. And like if you're in a moment where like you're not really feeling the best about yourself or whatever, you make decisions that kind of you know, they embody that. So when you have your twin and you have your brother, you're really partners. So you always have that phone call. You always have someone to call where you can go, and you get through the easy parts of life are sort of more where you can sort of spread your wings and split apart and go and do this. But I think the hard parts of life are where you stick together and you kind of like, you encourage one another. You always have a cheerleader too. So mm-hmm. I think like getting through
a very honest feedback. You get very honest feedback from each other, which I think is a strength and a real,
like, can hey, be a you really need to go apologize, or hey, you need to go fix that, or hey, you mm-hmm. need to go, you, what, you know, like,
or even someone that you can say, hey, how do I look? And someone will give you real feedback on how you look versus, oh, you look great. Cause no right. one's going to really say how you, if they think you should change your, yo,
that jacket makes you look weird. Right.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm not going to wear that one on my first.
I feel like I give you that kind of feedback. Like when we went on with the show with Steve, and I was like, what the fuck are you wearing?
Yeah. I wanted to look
comfortable. But you can actually, outside the world, like none of us would go out to someone in the world and be like, hey, does this make me look weird? Or hey, does this, you know, and with your brother, you'll be like, you know, hey, like, am I all right?
Yeah, weird cut. But also when you're out in the world, it's like you have a second set of eyes mm-hmm. looking from a different perspective. So if, like, say there's somebody with weird intentions or bad intentions or weird energy or good intentions, good energy, I feel like we have a very pure all the things. When we look at someone, we're not looking at anything other than when it comes to each other, we're protective mm-hmm. and we're also, I think, honest. And I think we see the best in each other, maybe when we're not personally seeing the best in ourselves. So I think we very much had a built-in support system that I could absolutely say I would not have anything in my life, any of the success I've had, the success in my family or marriage, the success in work, the personal growth. I would not have any of that if I didn't have my partner.
It's amazing,
always
dude.
Telling me like,
are you able to be vulnerable with each other, like without any sort of, you know, feeling, you know, that you're sharing too much? Like your vulnerability is just off the chart. Doesn't matter. You can tell, you guys can tell each other anything. Yeah.
Oh, that's even the best. That's
whether cool. you like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
In Maryland.
You did.
So yeah, you grew up, right outside of DC.
Yeah. About an hour and a half kind of down in the country, like about an hour and a half, 90 miles from DC.
So our mom grew up in Tacoma Park.
Yep. Yeah, I know where Tacoma Park is.
How far away are you from Baltimore?
About the same, about hour and a half-ish.
Baltimore was more like hour and 45, too.
So you guys grew up in the country. I mean, you grew up in the country.
In the, like, yeah, farms. In the country, actually, really close to. Really close to the very first settlement in the United States, for a very first English settlement, St. Mary's City, St. Mary's County. So if you go out there, it's beautiful. I mean, it's still sort of that way now. It's like beautiful, lots of land, lots of farms, lots of old shit, you know, mm-hmm. like you can go see people's graves from the 1600s and like that.
And you grew up on a farm or
no? Just in and around farmland. It was all very rural.
So, like, in order to get to a friend's house, you'd have to, like, get on a bike and ride for a while to get to somebody's house.
You couldn't really ride a bike. You it would be more like you have to drive.
Get a ride, yeah.
Yeah.
Miles and miles and miles.
Depending on if you had a friend who lived, like, right up, I don't know. Everybody was super spread out, though.
And what did your parents do? What, were they in the arts, or were they...
They weren't in the arts, but they had some art vibes, right?
I feel like they liked art. They didn't really know how to express themselves that way. Our dad was a butcher, and our mom was a homemaker. I think pretty much just a homemaker. She had little jobs. She always had like some odd job, but yeah. And then my dad always worked a bunch of jobs. So he was a butcher. And he like painted houses on the side, and he was just like always working.
So was your childhood like very free, meaning like you can roam, you could do your thing?
We played in the woods a lot.
Yeah.
So we had a big imagination, but it was pretty strict.
It was.
Yeah. Very religious. Our parents were very religious, like terrified of the world, kind of, yeah, the rock. Yes, with all, not being sacrilegious, but yes, they were terrified of the rapture.
Yeah, just the world, like the world was scary to them.
How did you guys like process that growing up and then even into your teenage and then 20s and then when you've had your band?
Well, like they said we're gonna create a rock band,
right? Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, was there a rebellious nature to religion in any way?
I think that I've always questioned the people, not really. I actually have a very good relationship with the transcendent part of life, I think. And with what I feel like my understanding of God and religion and that, I've been able to, I think, make my own sense of it. I always questioned the people, especially then. And also my parents, who were very religious, ended up completely falling apart and imploding. And then the family was really broken up. And then we were kind of on our own after probably 14. And so kind of the laws and ideals that they kind of preached to us all kind of just unraveled. And so I think the lesson that I took from that was not that the religion's wrong or they're wrong, but that people are people. And then I think I also, as I got older, started to unpack, like, everybody has dirty laundry and makes mistakes and has things. So go to any church and find any person to follow, and you can find something that they've done wrong. So don't buy it when someone's like presenting as perfect. That's why I think I try to be careful always, at least when I do anything that's facing, maybe like public facing or something. Like, I always try to be careful not to present like we're any one of us is perfect, because I just think it's just a false idea that, you know, that we're not all human and we don't all make mistakes, whether we mean to or not, whether we know we are or not, whether we choose to or not. So religion was always kind of like this kind of over dramatic confine to me that constricted you from being able to have the human experience, which is this really messy, complex experience that's also painful, but then also joyful. And I kind of just came to, I think we rebelled against it when we were teenagers and we didn't quite understand. But I would say, Benj, we never really got in trouble.
I was going to say, like, the way we did it was we just like, we were actually like, we listened to everything and we were really good kids. Like we just tried to make them happy because I think they were unhappy. So we were trying to make them, we were trying to make them happy. So we never got in trouble. Never. We were really, really hardworking.
But what I say, when I say but rebel against it, I kind of meaning like I moved to California as soon as I could.
Mm-mm. Right.
Now, how old were you?
I was 22 when I moved to California.
But you also have, you guys have an older brother, right?
Yeah, we have an older brother and a younger sister.
And how much, how many years older is your brother?
18 months.
Yeah, year and a half. Right. So he, I mean, how influential was he for you guys during that time?
He was influential. He left home early though. We were apart from when we were like 13 or 14. Oh, and then wow. He went out on his own, like young.
He was like,
and
I'm then, out.
Yeah, he was like,
well,
peace.
I was about to say, was he just like, I'm out, like, peace, like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
It was a pretty tumultuous home life back then. But yeah, so I think our nature, like for me, in my mind, because I had such an idea drilled into me of like the world and like especially Hollywood and California and the way people are like, oh, Hollywood. I think my rebellion, I rebelled against this, the idea that I was raised in by going to the place where I was told was where everything was evil. And so I think that was probably my biggest way of rebellion was leaving as far
did
as
you
I
guys,
could go.
Did you guys go together?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
So it was a joint decision. I mean, he was like, fuck it. Let's both get out of here. Let's both go to California.
Yep.
Yep.
And there was no resistance. There wasn't like, I don't want to, you need to. It was just like, nah, well, all right, we're ready. Let's roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, at the time we were already like, we were touring. We already had like some, we already had a couple hit songs and like, we were like getting asked to write songs for other artists and we were doing a lot of stuff. And we kind of like decided we should move there. So we found a house on the same street.
Mm-hmm. When did you discover music? Like, was that, cause it's to me, it feels like inside of this, it just is like a perfect storm of finding music and, or an instrument and getting and disappearing into it. And was it both of you at the same time or did one of you kind of lead the other into, you know, writing and performing?
It was both of us.
Together. Yeah, it was together.
Everything we've ever done, we've always done together.
Yeah, we went to see the Beastie Boys play mm-hmm. in 1995. It's like May 15th, 1995. And we went to the show. We had nosebleed seats, and we were watching it. And we were just kind of watching everybody like watch freak out and watching everybody. And like we were just watching. We were just taking it all in. And then afterwards, we were like, we should do that, you know. And
we started the band the next day, I think.
Yeah.
Were you already playing instruments though? Did you already know that you had some talent?
No.
Were you like, no, fuck it. Let's just start a band here. Let's go buy a guitar.
Always the intention from that very day we decided the next day, we're like, let's start a band. We'll be big. Let's do it. Let's go.
We had been gifted a guitar and a bass from a church music like director that was like helping our mom out when she was having a tough time. And then I had a karaoke machine. This like was about this big and you could plug two mics into it. So, I got a guitar cable and we had a mic and we just started making up little songs. Really literally. Cause they also with the guitar was a little book of like songs that would had little pictures on how to make the chords. So I think I learned like three chords and that was it. And then we never learned one song. We just started making
songs.
Do you remember your first chord?
Like your first favorite
song
chord?
Where you're like,
yeah,
wait a minute. This is kind of good.
Was it
actually.
D?
Yeah, there was a song we wrote. Our first kind of real song was called Gravity Girl. And there's a demo floating around online. People still like are hardcore fans still. Like,
well, you remember it was the 90s. So it was all that like, it was all like alternative, like 90s rock, you know? So
yeah. Gravity Girl.
Gravity Girl. Amazing. And there, it was like heavy. I'm gonna say heavy on the D, but well, I mean, okay. I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, so it was the D chord was the inspiration for that first song.
Wait, hold on. The Gravity Girl was it? Where did you record it? Like literally on a cassette tape. I mean, just
yeah, on the karaoke
machine.
Because it had two little cassette things, and you could record what you were singing.
That's amazing. And was it just a bass and a guitar, or did you have like a drum machine of any kind, or was it just?
Nope. No, just guitar.
That's amazing. We gotta hear Gravity Girl. I'm gonna go find that too. There's always like that. I always find like now, like there's always that one chord that people who write music gravitate towards. It changes, but I like that it was D. That makes a lot of sense.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Ollie.
Yeah. So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and you throw a lot of parties.
Yeah.
Well, you don't really. I mean, you've got your core group of friends.
I do throw a lot of
you
parties.
You do throw a lot of parties.
I love a party.
You need a signature cocktail that's ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's also actually nice to have a signature cocktail that's ready to go when you don't have a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just nice to have something in your fridge when you get home from work and you just want a drink.
This is true.
But you know why I like this brand of tequila?
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
Female-founded.
Yes. I love a female-founded spirit because there aren't that many of us.
I know. And 21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easiest margaritas ever. They're smooth. They're fresh. They taste amazing. And they're not too sweet.
No.
I do not like sweet.
They're not overly sweet.
Yeah. And they're infused with real juice.
Yes. I love women. I love supporting women. So.
Two sisters, one friend.
Listen, if you love tequila, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think, and it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So when you were like starting this whole process, was there like, I mean, I say this in like the best way because there's like no competition, but I'm saying like, was there ever that moment where you're like, I'm a leading personality. Like, let me lead this. Like, what happens when you guys disagree about something? Or is there someone that's more like motivates things to happen? Like, is there a more of a business brain versus a creative brain? Like, how do you guys figure out the partnership?
We've always been pretty naturally, Benj always tends to figure out how things work or how we're going to do something. And I always tend to go out and talk about it. So I'm a natural, I wouldn't even say I was extroverted in school, but being the lead singer seemed to be like the job that I was like, I could do that. And I'm also very I don't like to spend time learning how to do things. So if I'm not going to spend the time to learn how to play the guitar. It took me 20 years to learn how to play the guitar. And I think I have just worse ADD than he does.
You can play guitar now, though.
Yes, I can. So in all of our businesses, Bench tends to be the guy who operates everything and creates the plans and understands how everything, you know, operates really from every level, whether it's figuring out the financial aspect of it, figuring out the operational day-to-day of it. And I tend to be more in sales. So I love to go out and talk to people. I love to look at partnerships, look at all the things in dealing with it, interfacing with other people. So we together, I think we make a good team, because he's not to say he doesn't go talk to other people, but he's less interested in that.
Right. You're the sizzle. He's the steak.
Yeah.
It's so funny because we're the same age and you say 95, and it's like, so that basically means that you guys were in like just in 10th grade or 9th, 10th grade when you decided like, oh, we're going to be in a band and we're going to be huge. We're just going to decide this now.
Yeah.
So was your entire high school experience more about band than it was about high school?
Yes.
So you guys are like, get me the fuck out of Maryland and we'll be playing arenas in 4 years.
Yeah. And at that time, we even if it wasn't get us out of Maryland, it was like, get me to DC so I can like be close to the action, because there were some punk bands there. And our parents had kind of unraveled. So they were busy dealing with their stuff. We didn't have anyone going, what are your grades? We had to get extra credits to graduate, actually, because my grades were so bad. And we were working also to help support my mom at the time. So we both had jobs. So the band was all kinds of things. It was our dream. It was an escape. It was something to focus on. I think it kept us out of a lot of trouble. It gave us a feeling that there was something to go for, which I think there was a lot of value to that at that time, to like looking at something that seemed impossible as possible. And because we were working shitty jobs and it was very kind of adult things we were dealing with. So the band was like an incredible escape from a really kind of messy reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Gravity Girl is the first single. But at what point was it like, holy shit, like, this crazy experiment, this sort of idea that we're going to become huge is becoming a reality. Was there that moment where you looked at each other like, this is fucking crazy. Like, I cannot believe this.
In 1998, 1999 was when we had really kind of hit the local, like peak local size for the region. So for the Mid-Atlantic, for Pennsylvania, Maryland, all the way up to New Jersey and New York, we had built this like really cool, solid big following, and labels were interested. And so in 99, when we signed our first record deal, was that by then we kind of knew that it was happening, and we kind of had the bull by the horns, and we were just like, felt unstoppable. We just felt like no one was going to stop us.
Again, I go back to like having your partner built in, because the whole time, so we started the band in 1996. So that was only 3 years later. And the whole time, every time there was, you know, we would play like a house party and we thought it was the greatest thing ever. We would get a gig at a bar and we thought it was the greatest thing ever. We would get, you know, I remember all kinds of gigs where we were doing anything it took to just get that, just to make that gig happen, where we were rolling equipment from our place to the gig on skateboards, or like, you know, whatever we were doing, everything felt as important as the record deal, you know? And so because we were cheerleading each other, you know what I mean? We were like, and you know, ever since we were really young, I mean, we always shared a room. We didn't have our own rooms until we bought houses. You know what I mean? Because it was cheaper to get a place that we share a room. So
yeah,
we did everything together and we shared a room, and we were always talking. We were always sort of dreaming. We were always just keeping each, because it was hard, you know. It was like all these different jobs and one little thing that's like, you're $100 away from being okay, and you're never, and it's never there, you know? So every day, just sort of life, you just are cheerleading each other. You're saying, this isn't going to matter one day, you know? One day we're going to be, you know, one day we'll have a tour bus. One day we'll be, so just that partnership, just like cheerleading each other the whole time. So if there was a moment where we really felt like it was real, it was like legit the first band practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an important message just for everyone, honestly, artists or whatever anyone's doing, is it's real as important from day one as it is till when you're, you know, playing in front of 100,000 people, you know.
It's so true.
It's just the passion. It's the desire, you know. It's just as important.
And it's especially if you're met with yeses every step of the way, like don't turn a yes away. Don't see a yes as a no, because, you know, I think sometimes now there's an instant gratification in some things, especially digitally speaking, but the work is still real. The work in real life is the work. And so I think to this day, we're still the same as we were, but we have more experience and information and resources than we had. But we're still the same. It's still the same energy. We still just get just as excited when, whether it's one of our companies, a little thing happens, we still get excited over any yes that we receive when we take a step forward.
Yeah, like moving into this new phase of your life. I mean, you obviously haven't stepped away from the band, but was it a conscious decision? You guys have families now, you got kids. It was like, all right, well, that's going to take us on the road. That's going to take us away from this foundation, especially going back into the psychology of what you guys grew up with. You know what I mean? Just that sort of fractured family. Did that play any part in sort of saying, well, we're never going to fucking be like this. You know, when we have our family, we're going to make sure that shit sticks together and we need to be here for them, you know, which is how you sort of took that right turn into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, big time. I think that you either model your life after or you model it the opposite of, right? I think those are the two strategies. And some people have a great model and they follow that and they succeed. Some people have a bad model and they follow that and they fail. Some people do the opposite of the great model and they fail. And some people do the opposite of the bad model and they succeed.
Right.
So those are, I always kind of say it's simple. Those are four choices.
That's pretty much the only choices.
It's 100%.
And then you can modify little things, but the gist of it is you're modeling one of four things. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that we with family went the opposite, and we I think have been fortunate because we also have partners who I think are in the same mindset. And so when we started all of the businesses we have today, it was a big motivation of it was to be home and just to have families and to be able to be at our kids, you know, to be at dinner and be there for our kids.
Yeah. And also I remember when you were in Australia, I remember you and I talking about like just how hard it is to have that distance and managing the kids and it gets hard. And I think we all have the same thing, which is when you come from kind of like tumultuous familial background of like parents, you almost go the other direct, like almost so far. I know Oliver and I are like, it's the other direction, which is we're so committed to our kids that like I have anxiety when I leave them to the point where I'm like, it's the opposite where I'd be like, it's fine. Yeah, like I haven't left my kids in a year and a half.
Yeah, because dad bailed, you know, dad bailed and, you know, he did whatever the hell it is that he did. But now it's this, for me, it's this fear that if I'm not at every little thing or if I'm not present in every moment of theirs, that they're going to be fucked up and they're going to have abandonment issues, which is so far from the truth because all of our children are so loved. And you don't have to be there 24/7 for them to understand, feel, and sort of take in that love. But there is that trauma side of me that is like, fuck, dude, if I'm not there, if I'm not in every moment of their lives, then they're screwed up and there's going to be so much therapy that I'll probably have to pay for. And also
for me, it's like the opportunities that I have not taken because I want to be with my family, you know. Oh, yeah. Is that such an interesting thing to also, and then, you know, I don't regret any no. Now I know you say like the yes, but I'm saying like any no of doing something when it comes to being able to be with my kids. Like I'm so happy that I've been able to actually afford to say no. Mm-hmm. And to be
with
my children.
I'm with you on that. The weighing it all out and finding the balance is like the goal. But I think we're in the generation of parents who constantly ask themselves, am I a good parent? Because I think we come from a generation of parents who didn't actually, the baseline was roof over your head, food on the table. That's good parenting. I think we've evolved now. We're in this kind of generation of parents who all come from that school. So we all experience somewhere in the world of a similar experience. And I think that like, we're all asking those questions. Am I in touch with my kids' experience? And am I a good parent? We likely all are. And we all probably have stuff to work on like anyone else. But I think like we do all ask the same questions, and probably any parent listening has had that. I can't tell if my kids, are they having a good life or are they happy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think for our own sanity, we got to let that go though, because there's so many times, especially my kid, my oldest is 16. So they're getting into this new phase in his life where it's like, oh shit, I have to do things a little differently now, but am I doing this correctly? I have no clue, but right. You just let it roll, you know?
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Ollie.
Yeah. So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and you throw a lot of parties.
Yeah.
You don't really. I mean, you've got your core group of friends.
I do throw a lot of
you
parties.
You do throw a lot of parties.
I love a party.
You need a signature cocktail that's ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's also actually nice to have a signature cocktail that's ready to go when you don't have a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just nice to have something in your fridge and you get home from work and you just want to drink.
This is true.
But you know why I like this brand of tequila?
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
Female founded.
Yes. I love a female founded spirit because there aren't that many of us.
I know. And 21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easiest margaritas ever. They're smooth. They're fresh. They taste amazing. And they're not too sweet.
No.
I do not like sweet.
They're not overly sweet.
Yeah. And they're infused with real juice.
Yes. I love women. I love supporting women. So.
Two sisters, one friend.
Listen, if you love tequila, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think, and it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I was watching this Instagram of these kids on the little circle, you know, the thing at the playground that what is it called?
Merry-go-round?
It's like, yeah, but like you hold on to it and the kids jump on and off of it.
Okay.
And it's like, if you were a kid in the 80s or 90s, like, just is the meme, and it's just kids fucking whipping themselves around this thing, like flying off of it, like no parents around. I was like, this would never exist anywhere in the world right now. Yeah. Like, it just wouldn't exist.
But it needs like, to. Like,
there's a part of me that sometimes I'm like, maybe we do need to whip. They need to
like
without parents. Like,
I know
I'm the worst offender of that. I'm like, I'm not going to lie.
Do their thing, you know.
So I have a question. When you guys are in the height of success early, early on, was there any, did you guys ever have times where you were like, had to take breaks from each other? Like, I always wonder with the twins. I know we would be like that. Like, we would, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you're so into each other's
so
lives.
Connected, like, is there any times where you sort of had to figure out like boundaries with each other, or has it always been pretty seamless?
And then piggybacking that, I've read that you guys have actually done therapy together. Is that true?
Yeah.
Talk about that too. That's interesting.
I think we just learned like I don't know if we ever took a break from each other. We definitely we talk morning, noon, and night every day of our life. That's just how we
occasionally, you know, not like a break, like we took a year where we didn't see each other, but like, I think like through every phase of life, right? Joel got married and had kids before I did. He is in a completely different place than me. There's a recalibration that has to happen through every phase of life. There's a recalibration where you have to, here's what we used to be. Here's what we are now. And I think like when you get married and have kids, that becomes priority number one. So we're not each other's number one priority anymore, you know? We have to recalibrate. And so there's probably like little periods of time, a few months. Little phases where you're having trouble communicating, or you're sort of like, you know, getting frustrated, but you really just have to recalibrate. So I think all along the way, we had to do that the whole time. I mean, through even just like being in the band together, really kind of figuring out what our roles were, and then having a business together, figuring out what our roles are, and like sort of readjusting to that in every different sort of phase of life is just a natural part of it. So yeah, I don't know if we took like actual like, you know, like we said, we need a break from one another. I'll talk to you in 3 weeks. But I think naturally we would sort of, you know, Joel would go, he's doing his thing right now. I'm going to let him go do his thing. And, or he's doing his thing right now. I'm going to let him do his thing. And then, you know, we just sort of recalibrate, you know, but being partners on.
Yeah. Is there like a moment when Joel had kids, you know, where it is what it is, that is what life does. And there's going to be time that's taken away from that relationship that is an extreme bond between you guys, that then that recalibration is actually hurtful, not on purpose, but there feels like there's some sort of a loss there in any way.
Sure. Absolutely. I think we both like sort of probably comes out more in like sort of at some points frustration, and then at some points like where you kind of actually go, oh, you know what, because both of us want the other one to have the right priorities, and the right priority really is your wife and kids. So you would kind of back off and go, I'm gonna let him take care of his, you know, his business right now. And but then if anything, it was a good thing, because you internalize and you go, well, where am I? You know, if I invested more time in sort of, you know, this work or that work, and I wasn't investing the time in finding, you know, the right partner, then I have to actually look at that. So that's another positive sort of thing when you have a partner where you can look at something going on in their life and go, you know, I think I need to invest more time in, you know, whether it's like being healthy or, you know, a skill set or what does my life look like? And so I think that, yeah, there's definitely been times where we've had to sort of be, you know, kind of not separate, but, you know, kind of take care of what we had to do at that time. Mm-hmm. But the thing I think we made an agreement, when we were like 16, like when we started the band, because this is how sure we were of ourselves. We were like,
You guys totally manifested this. This is the what's so crazy is you're full, like total man. Well, you're also Pisces, which means you are manifestors. But yeah. Anyway, I just had to say that out loud.
When we were 16, we made a deal that we would always split every dollar, whatever we ever made, no matter who did what, and
we would never let make that deal with my brother.
I tried. I tried.
I would never make that deal with my brother.
And certainly, like that, we would just be partners in everything, and certainly, like we have both done other things that I don't know that we hold each other to that deal all the time as we're adults, you know, and especially when you have your own families and stuff. But it's definitely a deal that's held. It's the foundation of us. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's never anything I'm doing that I don't consider him my partner in, whether he's there in the room or he's work, you know, and we're out there working. And we are in the room with, if you're in the room with me, you're in the room with him.
Mm-hmm. What about go through some of your businesses? We have a little, like, just sort of this pivot from music, not that you pivot from music necessarily, you're still in that world, but you know, what was the inspiration behind sort of moving away from touring and sort of, you know, getting more into the entrepreneurial spirit of, well, let's have multiple businesses?
I think that at the very core of it is just like a more sustainable lifestyle. So to be able to, you know, touring is very unsustainable for family. I think that, but then I also think our interests are the things we're working on. We have a music company. So it's the management and artist development company, I'd say that's our core business. We just love it so much. We just love the working in music and our being around artists is just our, we'll enjoy it forever and ever. We get to watch people's dreams come true every year. And it's a really exciting thing to be a part of. And mentor our younger artists. And then we have a media company that, you know, is in magazines, music magazines, in the same kind of realm of our management company. It's in rock and alternative and the space we're in. And then we have another media focused company that's like a live stream platform called Veeps that's for concerts and live events, so comedy and concerts. So those three businesses are really what we work on every day. And Good Charlotte is kind of like I feel like today it's this classic car we keep in perfect condition in the garage and we like to take it out sometimes and definitely drive it and people like to see it. It's never going to be a daily driver. I think anything we do with Good Charlotte is always going to feel special and exciting. We really love still doing stuff with the band.
But you're not writing. You guys write, not writing new stuff. Like, that's not like a, where are you?
We actually are going to make some music in this coming year in 2024. Yay! We're going to put some music out. Dude.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
My album's almost done, Joel.
Your album? I can't wait to hear it.
I'm so excited for you to hear it because you've always been so supportive of me singing.
Well, you're fantastic.
I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but like
rabbit hole.
No. I'm moving out of your rabbit hole. But just with this whole, because you do live streams, you know, comedy, you know, and you've been doing that for a minute now, sort of almost at the forefront of it when I was reading about it, you know, as far as when you started that goes. You look at this Eras tour, this Taylor Swift shit that has come out and has completely destroyed the box office. And now Beyonce is doing one. It feels like there's going to be some sort of a trend now when it comes to this stuff. I have like producer friends who have bought old catalogs, you know, for film. Is this, what's your feeling on that? Is there inspiration behind it? Or do you think this is like a degradation of sort of the concert as we know it?
No, so it's two different things. So a live show, there'll never be anything that replaces a live show. The magic of live music is one thing. Like, but what you don't realize when you're at a concert is that actually more people don't go to concerts than do. So more people in the world don't have access to concerts, period. Mm-hmm. And that's if every ticket sold out everywhere, there would still be more people who couldn't be at that concert and can't be at any concert, period. And that's just a fact. So it's a luxury to be able to go to a live show for sure. Mm-hmm. And nothing can replace that.
It's the thing you dream about. You want to see that person live. You want to see that band. You want to see that artist live. It's sort of like one day I want to go to Disney World. You know what I mean? Like not everybody gets to go to Disney World, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But access to the live event and concerts and comedy and other live events is actually something that people must have. So the same way we can now watch sports, if you remember in the 90s and the 2000s, you watched whatever sport games were on network television and cable, but there wasn't an all access option for the people who wanted to have it. And now, you know, with music and live events, we're always kind of behind because old models are kind of held on to tightly in music mm-hmm. and entertainment, especially in music. So what we started 6 years ago with this platform is now turning into an entertainment platform. We're going into original content. And we do more live concerts than anyone in the world. We've done more than anyone in the world. We are absolutely this platform is the experts on live streaming concerts and live. And we see it. The future is people in all over the world, and whether it's India or South America or Europe or America, people who can't leave the house, people who physically can't go to concerts, and people who locationally can't, and people who financially can't, have access now, the same as they do to their sporting events, more and more access to concerts. And artists now, and this has changed in the last 2 years, artists now feel the need to stream at least one show from their tour so that people can participate in that tour. And so it's the future. It's coming whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Now they can monetize their entire tour by potentially, you know, you can pay a ticket to go watch it as well. Now with the live streaming, now this is, we don't have to put this in. It's just going down my head. So just, I'm curious, is there real time directing as far as production value goes and that stuff? Or is it like static camera shots? Or is it like, do you have engineers pushing buttons?
So it's real time directing. We also have AI programs that can direct. They're both actually good. It depends on where you stream, how you stream. Yeah. There's a lot of options for how you execute it.
Cool.
So fun.
Cool shit. I dig it.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Ollie.
Yeah. So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and you throw a lot of parties.
Yeah.
You don't really. I mean, you've got your core group of friends.
I do throw a lot of
you
parties.
You do throw a lot of parties.
I love a party.
You need a signature cocktail that's ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's also actually nice to have a signature cocktail that's ready to go when you don't have a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just nice to have something in your fridge when you get home from work and you just want a drink.
This is true.
But you know why I like this brand of tequila?
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
Female founded.
Yes. I love a female founded spirit because there aren't that many of us.
I know. And 21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easiest margaritas ever. They're smooth. They're fresh. They taste amazing. And they're not too sweet.
No.
I do not like sweet.
They're not overly sweet.
Yeah. And they're infused with real juice.
Yes. I love women. I love supporting women. So.
Two sisters, one friend.
Listen, if you love tequila, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think. And it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
All right, let's do the rapid fire because I don't want to waste anybody's time. And okay. Song of your childhood.
Like, well, that's a good one.
Define your childhood, like that time. Like, what is, like...
Benz, remember that Keith Green song?
Yes.
What was that?
My early childhood, there were a couple songs. One was I Just Called to Say I Love You, Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Keith Green, it was called Who Put This Love in My Heart. It was like a Christian artist, I think. My parents used to listen to him. You Are Lionel Richie and Lean on Me.
Mm-hmm. Lean on Me. Of course, because of Lean on Me, I always think of Fairy Star.
Right.
Side by side, we stand.
The movie.
And remember the movie?
Morgan Freeman. It's a great movie, by the way.
Also, remember House of the Rising Sun, Animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My dad used to play that all the time. Well, that was like 0 to 9, 10. And then older. You know, adolescent high years school. Would be more like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
So What You Want.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Me, it was Can I Kick It? Tribe to me is like my high school. Like, I just remember that song. Mm-hmm. When that song came out, when you hear that sample, that the Lou Reed sample, I was just like, no, forget it. It was over for me.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh. Okay.
Who would win in an octagon? If you guys were put in an octagon and you had to fight, who's winning that fight?
Physically, you mean?
Yeah, physically. You got it. Yeah. Who's tapping first?
Ben's a very, very physical, great fighter.
Who's the better cook?
Probably me.
Really?
I think so.
We can put this to the test.
Happily.
Okay, if you were going to rob a bank, who would go in and rob the bank and who would be driving the getaway car?
I'd drive the getaway car. Benj would rob the bank.
Benj?
That'd probably be.
Okay.
He's definitely a trigger man. He's not afraid to go charge. I'm thinking too much.
Yeah.
I stay calm under pressure more than you, but you have a big picture vision.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a good one. And this includes both of you guys. You get arrested. You're in jail. You have one phone call. Who in your immediate family is the first person you're going to call?
Individually or together?
Together. You only have one phone call.
Is it? Okay, so in our family?
I feel like I know who it is. Yeah.
Well,
it can be anyone.
I'll tell you right now.
Anyone in your life.
Anyone in your life, yeah.
It's Cameron.
Yeah, my wife. I was gonna say 1,000%.
If she doesn't pick up, it's John Rosenberg.
Who's John Rosenberg?
He's a dear friend. He's a lawyer, but he's also like a very dear friend of ours.
What does Nicole rank in the phone call?
Nicole is like she's a good call.
But what's that? 50-50. It's 50-50 she has her phone in
but that she'll answer. Yeah.
And likely she goes, oh my God, that sounds fun.
Oh my God. Oh, that would be so. Yeah.
No, listen, the truth about Nicole is she's down. If I called her, if she was the second call, I just know Cameron is going to charge in there and get us right out, even if she has to break us out.
Yeah.
If I call Nicole and say, listen, it's serious. I need you to do this. She's doing it. She's so down.
That's because Cameron can rob the bank and drive the getaway car at the same time. She's
literally been trained to do it.
Okay. First celebrity crush.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, good one.
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to think.
Ollie, what yours was?
Nicole Eggert.
That's right.
From Charles in Charge back in the day. She was on Baywatch like a long time after that.
Mine was Corey Haim from The Lost Boys. But also Kiefer Sutherland from The Lost Boys. Actually, all of The Lost Boys. They were all my crush. No, Benji, can't think of one.
Benji wasn't a big crush. You were like a big crush guy. I was a little dreamier than you, wasn't I? Yeah, but I'm trying to think. I'm sure that I had one. I was trying to, you know, I always thought like the mom on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was really pretty.
she was. That's a good one. That's the best.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Okay, guys, ready? Because we always end our podcast with this, which is a two-part question. First part is, if you could alleviate something from your brother's life, if you could take something from them that you know would kind of like give them more ease or be, you know, have a more optimal experience through life, what would that be? And then the second part of that question is, if you could emulate something that your brother has that you would love to be able to have a little bit more of in your life, what would that be?
That's a good question. I don't ever waste an answer. So, if I could alleviate anything from his life, you know what? If I'm being honest, I've always felt like he's felt responsible for me, and I've always kind of felt like that, whether I tried to or not. And I would probably say less responsibility for everyone, because not just me, everyone. He's always kind of been that guy, and then he naturally just feels responsible for everyone. And what was the other question?
Something that you could emulate.
Something that you would want from him.
Something that you love about him that you wish you had more of.
He has a great ability he's always very cool, calm, collected, can get to things kind of elegantly, quickly, and feels very, his brain is organized. It just feels like he's quick to get through a process and get to a direction and then go without overthinking it. And I think there's something really elegant and simple about the way he operates that I've always kind of been jealous of. I think that I just have a real true ADD, and I'm always thinking probably about a thousand things, and it's hard for me to organize my brain sometimes the way it feels like he can just pick a plan and attack it with everything, whether it's working out or a business or anything. So there's a simplicity to it.
Go on. That's very sweet, Joel. I appreciate that. So I would say the thing, if I could take away from Joel, so that he, you know, like improve his quality of life, probably he's always worried about he wants to be the best dad, and he's an amazing dad. He wants to be the best husband. He's an amazing husband. Like A+. So everything he does, he's worrying like if he's doing a good enough job, and he's always doing a more than a good enough job, you know? So I'm always like, dude, you're doing great. Like, he doesn't always take it in though. He's like, he wants to do better. You know, he wants everyone to be happy. He's always worried about if everybody's happy. And, probably comes from like our childhood, because he like wanted our parents to be happy, and it's like that was a losing battle. It's not going to happen, you know. So he's always wants everyone to be happy. So, and I'm always like, dude, everybody, look at us, man. We everybody's happy. Like, you know, it's not, our houses are peaceful. Everybody's, you know. And so if I could just take that away, and he wouldn't worry about that, he'd be more, a little bit more carefree. And then what I wished I had
that he has in the most insane ability of anyone I've ever met, just to like look up and go, oh yeah, we're going to do that, or I'm going to do that, or I want like to dream up like the biggest thing and not even question it, not even think twice about it. I'm immediately figuring out like how the architecture is going to work. And I can sometimes only get to like a couple levels up, and Joel's already seeing like the skyline, you know? And so that's something I definitely have learned from, but he does it with such ease. He's like, oh yeah, we can do that. We'll do that, you know? And that's like almost like a superpower in my mind. It's like just to be able to just like dream something without even questioning it.
That's awesome.
It's the best. Yay.
That's great.
Guys, really thank great. You so much for yeah, joining
thank
us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was so and fun. It was so great, guys. Thanks for having us.
The best.
It was
a blast. Yeah.
It was really good Sorry talking to me. You guys. Your story is so cool. I didn't know it.
I know. And we're
inspirational, man. Really cool stuff.
Seriously. And we also Thanks. Like we usually do like we've had like sessions now. We've had like 3 hours with certain people. We're trying to like really cut them down to an hour. And it's hard because I have a million questions here, guys. I have so many things that I'm going to ask you offline, but this was just the best.
Well, save it and, for their pod.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are really nice. We have so many mutual friends and we see each other all, you know, from time to time. And I now feel closer to you guys. Just from doing this podcast.
I know, me too. I feel like I've known you guys in peripheral for Forever. A long time. You know, and it's funny how you said, I want to say in the very beginning, you know, how you guys cover for each other when someone may not know who's who. It has literally made me avoid both of you. I'm like, oh shit. Oh, God, I'm just going to walk away because I don't want to be the asshole who doesn't know
yeah,
who's
but now
who.
You can see it's so easy to tell them apart.
Of course.
Now
oh
you
God.
Can tell. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And it's really not offensive to us when people do think we're each other. Yeah. But I think it's really great to have these conversations because I think people listening, a lot of times families can be very passive aggressive to each other. They don't know how to share and care. And I think we've had to learn that over time. But it took us, you know, our own time. But like siblings should communicate because when they don't, they're missing out on a really great and valuable resource in their life to depend on.
Anything you want to do in life, you're better shot. You have a better shot at doing it with you, with a partner that you can trust, that you know, and like you have to set your sights on something. So like, if you want to have a good relationship with your sibling, just like, I think our biggest dream in the world was to have loving, peaceful family. So we both wanted to be married. We both want to have kids. And like, we had to figure out how to like how that worked, and so we looked for good models and we looked for families that like seem to have more, you know, like they have a shot at sticking together. Those people seem like they got something figured out. And like, if you don't if you have a sibling, you actually have to say, I want to be close to you. Like, I want to figure out where's that spot where we get stuck, where's the spot where we argue, where's the spot where we fight. And
yeah,
I think it's a practice, you know, you really got to like, that's why, you know, this podcast is great. Like,
well, thank you. That's why we started it. It was like, it's such an important relationship that is never really discussed or talked about, but it's just such an important one, you know, and there's too many siblings who just do not talk to each other, who are completely, you know, sort of living totally separate lives and have no regard for each other.
It's true. It kills me.
It's so sad. And I also feel like you know, there's a way to get to know someone, you know, a one-on-one, but when you get to know someone through their siblings' eyes, you get a completely different perspective of that person. You know, when you sit and you listen to siblings talk about each other and laugh about stories and like there's nothing more sort of eye-opening about who they are as people. You know, you see
and
them
real,
for who they really are. Yeah.
Well, it's almost it's a tribe within a tribe in a sense, you know, because you have your tribe, your big family tribe, and then the siblings have their own little, you know, sort of offshoot, you know, like me, you, Boston and Wyatt are sort of sitting around drinking and laughing. It's you feel this synergy, this connectedness that is not separate, but just a little sort of just a little arm, a little branch from the entire.
It's true.
And especially siblings that come from broken homes. When the damage is done when you're young, I feel like not enough of us, it took us too long. Even us, I think you got to salvage what you can. You do build your new family and you can choose your family. You can choose friends that you get close to, but you can salvage some things from your family and keep and reimagine what that family, it doesn't always have to be broken or feel sad.
Yeah. I'm doing that right now. I'm in the middle of that right now, literally. I'm doing that right now. Of that. Like I'm working with my dad and he's with the other siblings. Now we have to bring it all together.
I had this moment last year where I was like, I don't know why I don't talk to my other siblings. Like, I don't care what the history is with my with our parents, but like that's my and especially me who has no sisters, right? I don't. I do. I have two sisters that I don't speak to.
Yeah.
And for no other reason except that our family separated, and. My sister and I and my brother, we've all just started communicating again. And honestly, I got on the phone with my sister and we just started bawling our eyes out. We're like, what?
That's sweet.
It was so great. Yeah, it was so great. And so, you know, and then she even said it. She's like, it's, we start now. Let's just start now.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thank you guys.
This is the best.
Awesome.
I'll see
you
soon.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.